Malcolm X once said, "When I is replaced with we, even illness becomes wellness." Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. This week, we're talking about BAW technology, wearable sensors built into the very fibers of your clothing, and saving the world one open source project at a time. So we'll get to those sensors and that BAW business later on, but right now, let's save the world. My distinguished guest this week is Adam Benzian, co-founder of Hackster.io. Adam and I are chatting about what Hackster.io is all about, the details of the Detect and Protect Challenge, and most importantly, how your open source designs can help make even the most struggling areas of the world a better place. Hi, Adam. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so just in case my audience doesn't know, what is Hackster.io all about?
Cool, thank you. So Hackster.io is one of the largest engineering communities in the world. We have about 1.4 million engineers sharing open source hardware projects. When I say hardware, the truth is there's no such thing as only hardware. It's hardware with firmware and software and cloud and everything that comes in between. But the main focus is on IoT, machine learning, edge computing, etc. So we have about 20,000 open source hardware projects on the site that people get to learn from, get inspired by, and even reuse because they're all open source.
Excellent. Now, you guys, along with the UNDP, Rally Global Engineering Community, have just launched the Detect and Protect Challenge. So first, let's talk about Detect and Protect a little bit. What exactly do you mean by that?
Cool. Yes. So this is actually something we're extremely proud of because the UNDP is an organization within the UN that is really focused on the developing world in some of the poorest nations and communities in the world that are always seem to be affected in a larger magnitude of anything that happens on the planet. It can be anything from climate change to all sorts of, you know, pandemics and other issues resulting from poverty. So they had a hypothesis, which is really coming sadly to life, that the developing nations will not be able to fend for themselves as well as the developed nations due to the fact that they live in crowded areas. They don't live in homes. They live in small places that don't give them space. So when we talk about social distancing, it is often not possible to do in developing nations. They don't have the resources in hospitals to care for those who are going to fall ill. So the idea is to create a challenge to call on the world's developers to create open source technologies that are either simple and low cost to build or just easy to use that help people in the developing world to detect any pandemic exposure and spread and also protect the citizens from the same things. Anything to do with heat maps that can be consumed maybe on a simple Android app or a simple disinfectant dispenser that can be 3D printed and use in public places. So all sorts of things, really, without limiting the ideas, the materials, the complexity or simplicity, even though we are aiming for simplicity here, that will be posted on the site, and then we can then share with our key people in the developing world and then help them with the technology transfer of these ideas and help them even build some prototypes and land them in the field. So that's how this project came about. And it's really exciting to see also how many technology leaders and partners came through to support us in this vision.
So, Adam, what are the goals of this challenge specifically?
Really, we have two main goals: to create detection apparatus and protection apparatus that are really open source designs. So imagine a 3D printed, you know, protective equipment designs that anybody can actually, with a simple 3D printer, can actually download the CAD files and print and build. Easy to assemble hand sanitizing dispensers. Like, how do we actually build them, you know, in places you actually don't have them, and maybe even the substances that actually are the actual disinfectants. How to create public alerts, mass broadcasting tools, contamination monitoring, and even simple stuff is rapid mask production, you know, ideas. So really creating real projects that will explain to people what materials were used, how were they assembled, and how to recreate them anywhere in the world, inexpensively and rapidly. We will share every project that has been submitted on the site with the world so the world can actually use these projects and replicate them anywhere that they actually fit. So that's the goal, to get as many projects as possible that can be recreated as real products and real things that people get to use and save lives.
Excellent. Now, this challenge also includes a large list of co-sponsors and partners. Adam, this is truly a global design challenge, right?
Truly is. Yeah. We're talking about, you know, from open source leaders of Arduino and Adafruit that came through to help and become really a big part of it. Companies like Arm, Amazon Web Services, NVIDIA, NXP, Google, Microsoft. What you see here, it's a true global effort, and a lot of companies have donated. For example, Amazon Web Services donated $20,000 worth of credits for these projects for anybody who wants to build maybe some sort of an information app or a dashboard for the community. A company called Balena has donated 100 boards that call the Balena Fins, which are actually Raspberry Pis that can do a little bit more than the normal Raspberry Pi, for people who want to build anything, you know, based on their technology, just for free, and they're going to ship it to any country as well. A company called Soracom donated a lot of SIM cards that can work in over 200 countries. So if anybody wants to create a communication solution and need, you know, a cellular connectivity, you have that as well. Google gave Coral AI boards, as did NVIDIA with their Jetson Nano boards. So every company has came forth and donated their time and money, as well as hardware and software resources, to help anybody in the world, either in the developing world or the developed world, without any distinction, to build solutions that can actually be helpful, save lives, and help healthcare workers as well do things better.
So, Adam, how can my audience get started, and how long does this challenge last?
Great. Your audience is actually so perfect for this. So, audience, you are, you know, some of the world's best engineers and thinkers. And with the COVID-19 happening, this pandemic taking over our planet and our communities, I'm sure that a lot of you and a lot of your audience have been thinking about different types of solutions to help healthcare workers, to help communities stay cleaner and healthier. So really thinking through some of the ideas you might have that you want to maybe contribute, we would love to have you submit them to the hack.io contest page. And if you go to hack.io, you'll see this right on the homepage. It's called the COVID-19 Detect and Protect Challenge. So submit your ideas, which will become open for anybody to replicate and to learn from. And we are even trying to really reward anyone for their time and ideas and brain power. And we're giving prizes to 30 of the top winners. The prizes are really fun and generous, including money and hardware and also a recognition, a badge, recognition badge from the UN that you are an innovator, combat this pandemic. So really anything and everything. We're not restricting people by what they should build and how they should build it. Just telling people that if you can help us understand how do we actually better protect people and help detect, spread disease in themselves will save lives everywhere. So really love to see your community join and participate and contribute.
Me too. All right, Adam, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, we're all kind of homebound these days, but if you could have one meal right now, like, doesn't matter where it's from, what country it's from, what would that be?
You know, I've been really craving something pretty basic. There's a Japanese restaurant next to my house, soups that are just so delicious and so good and so fresh. And they've been closed. They don't even do the takeout thing now. And just sitting there and kind of zenning by myself even and eating that delicious soup and slurping on these noodles feels like such a luxury right now. And you get to appreciate the small things that you used to do and just being around humans even without interacting with them, that it was something that is so natural for us, you know, and slurping on your favorite noodles. So I would eat that ramen tempura at my favorite Japanese restaurant.
That sounds absolutely delicious right now. Awesome. Well, Adam, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope to see your community and audience reach and do beautiful things with us.
All right. It's time for a little news you may have missed. ETEX edition. So first off, what is an ETEX? Well, it stands for Electronic Textile Conformable Suit, a brand new way to incorporate electronic sensors into stretchy fabrics, allowing for the measurement of important vital signs like temperature, respiration, and even heart rate. So this new form-fitting garment is actually the brainchild of a team of researchers at MIT. And get this, these electronic textile conformable suits can actually be washed in standard washing machines and customized to the person wearing them. Okay, so here on Fish Fry, we've talked about different embedded sensors for a long time, different ways to monitor those important vital signs. But until now, a lot of these technologies needed to be attached to the skin itself. But this new technology from MIT has removable electronic sensors incorporated into the fabric, so no more delicate sticky patches stuck to your skin. So the sensors themselves, they're actually long flexible strips that have been housed in epoxy, which are then moved into the narrow channels of the fabric. And then the tiny holes in those channels actually allow the sensors to be exposed to the skin. For the first prototype, this team at MIT used around 30 temperature sensors and an accelerometer that measured the person wearing the garment's movement, breathing rate, and heart rate, and then transmitted that data wirelessly to a smartphone. The fabric in question here is also important. It's not your run-of-the-mill cotton t-shirt fabric. It's actually a blend of a specific type of polyester, like the ones you wear working out, because it wicks moisture and it conforms to the skin easily. But from the outside, you might not know that this type of shirt was actually anything out of the ordinary. So this team at MIT did all sorts of testing with these new electronic shirts, where they monitored changes in heart rate, temperature, and breathing rates of the people wearing them. Keeping a close eye on how temperature in particular was being monitored in different parts of the shirt and how those changes correlated together. MIT insists that these shirts, which have already been manufactured in some capacity, can easily be created in different sizes to fit different ages and different body types. And they aren't stopping at a health monitoring shirt. Oh no. This team is also looking at developing other types of garments, including pants, and is also working on incorporating additional sensors for monitoring blood oxygen levels and other indicators of health. As you can undoubtedly imagine, this type of health advisory suit, or shirt as the case may be, has all sorts of application areas, including changing the way astronauts are monitored in space, or even the future of personalized medicine. Nah, I don't need to go to the doctor's office. He's got all of my information right there. If you want any further information about this super cool new study out of MIT, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com, including a white paper about the topic and a video of the e-techs in action. Okay, pop quiz time. What is BAW technology? Okay, want a hint? No, it has nothing to do with dogs. But it has to do with crystals. Okay, I'll tell you. It's bulk acoustic wave technology, and it's going to make crystals a thing of the past. Well, at least in some electronic designs. Certain friends of mine will still use them for important life decisions. Oh well. And guess what? I'm talking about the why, the what, when, and how of BAW technology with Nick Smith from Texas Instruments in a Hot Off the Digital Presses episode of Chalk Talk. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, by checking out the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal. You can't miss it. It's right across the top. Or head on over to YouTube. youtube.com/EEJournal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, hosted by you know who. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store, Spotify, or Podbean. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you even just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 8th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.